from Vermont Public Radio. This is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Thursday, April 23rd. Today on the podcast, the state college's chancellor withdraws a plan to close three campuses.
And we are committed to working with the legislative and executive branches and others to sustain the Vermont State College system and allow for a process that moves us to a workable alternative solution over the course of the coming months.
Chancellor Jeb Spaulding said that to me just a couple hours after the Vermont State Colleges Board made the call not to close the two campuses of Northern Vermont University and the Vermont Tech campus in Randolph. And we'll hear more of that conversation later. But first, here are the stories we're following today.
It still seems likely that the state college system will have to undergo some serious changes in the future. Governor Phil Scott says he wants to work with the legislature to come up with a new model for funding higher ed in Vermont, but he also said he doesn't want to spend money to prop up the current system. He warned that, quote, everything is on the table.
Meanwhile, Vermont recorded five new cases of COVID-19, bringing the total number of cases in the state to 823. 40 people have died, and yesterday was the first time that the health department provided demographic information of the first 29 people who died in Vermont from the coronavirus. All but two of them were over 65, and all of them had other chronic health problems. More men than women have died, and their median age was 80.
And a handful of people showed up outside the State House yesterday to protest Governor Scott's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. There were about a dozen of them, a much smaller crowd than organizers had hoped for. The protesters want Scott to reopen the economy more quickly. Scott says he shares their concerns, but he says the drastic measures he's taken have helped slow the spread of the coronavirus here. He says he won't lift his stay-home order until public health officials say it's safe.
And so, Anna, as I mentioned at the top, the state college system has backed off its plan to close three rural campuses.
Yeah, the last time we talked about this a couple of days ago, the plan was getting a lot of pushback. Students, alumni, faculty, legislators, they all raised concerns. There was a Board of Trustees meeting on Monday, and it went on for hours.
Right. And so then after all that pushback, the architect of the proposal, State College's Chancellor Jeb Spaulding, withdrew the plan on Wednesday. And then I talked to him just a couple hours after he made that move. And first I asked him if it was that pushback that changed his mind.
Well, first of all, the ultimate decision to accept my proposal would be the Board of Trustees. And I was impressed, not surprised, but impressed that the entire board participated in hours and hours and hours of hearings from students, faculty, community members, elected officials. And I certainly think that had an impact on the trustees. It had an impact on me. We also heard from our elected leadership at all levels that they were concerned about the rapidity and scale of the proposal. Then we also had some positive indications from the legislature and the governor to some extent that they'd like to see a process go forward that looked at what a redesign might look like and that positive indications that there might be some interim financial assistance available. So with those factors, the Board of Trustees, and I accept their judgment and don't disagree with it, felt that we should withdraw the proposal, see what kind of assistance we can get from the legislature, assure people that the campuses will be open this year, and that we are going to need to redesign our system.
Let's start with the funding piece. I mean, do you have a dollar amount that the legislature has promised to you?
No, we do not. We know they've got a lot of balls in the air, and nobody's made any promises. But what we have heard is indications that they would like to help. And we're optimistic that we can get assistance from the state, probably out of the federal CARES money.
So are campus closures completely off the table at this point?
Well, they're off the table in the near future. But there's no question about the fact that the demographics and the changing way that the students access post-secondary education. I mean, over 30% of our student body in higher education on a national level are over 30 years old. Those kind of big changes are with us forever. So we do need to look seriously at our campus configuration, but do it in a thoughtful process.
In the immediate term, students and families are making their plans for college for the fall at this time of year. Can they count on going to Northern Vermont University or Vermont Tech at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
The only thing I would add to that, Henry, is that, of course, depending on what happens with the COVID-19 pandemic, we're hopeful to be able to open on a face-to-face residential campus in the fall. There may be a need to postpone if that's not able to be the case, perhaps continue online a little bit longer or remote delivery. But that would be the same with any college or university. So everybody has to be aware of the fact that there is some added uncertainty due to the most significant health event in the last 100 years.
You're coming to the state right now for public funding at a time when many other institutions are also facing big financial challenges. Why should VSC be getting state money versus other needy institutions at this point?
One thing that became very clear in the hearings we've had for the last several days that I think really hit home with the trustees, with the chancellor, and with their elected officials is what an economic and cultural and community-based essential the Vermont State Colleges are, and that the economic loss and community loss of losing these colleges would be devastating for the state of Vermont. And be devastating for the people in the state of Vermont. In terms of the contribution to our economic and revenue situation, the state colleges are one of the most essential pieces there are. And as we move out of the COVID-19 world and try to boost our economy, education and training is also critically important. Having said that, we cannot sustain the current bricks and mortar and footprint that we have and have got to look for ways to meet the realities of the world.
Well, so, and just to be clear there, it sounds like in the future, even if it's not this year, closing some brick and mortar campuses in the state college system could be on the table.
I think that could be on the table, yes.
Okay. I'm curious. You came out with this plan less than a week ago. It was a provocative plan, closing down three campuses. Was this a tactic to get state legislatures to pay more attention and get an influx of money to the state college system quicker?
The answer is no. It was not a tactic. It was born out of a recognition that, we are in a very precarious financial situation, were before COVID-19 hit, and that was more intense afterwards. So it was an attempt to try to make sure that we are able to sustain as much of the Vermont State Colleges system as we can. And that, those pieces were a robust community college, a robust and vibrant Castleton University, and the important programs of Vermont Technical College. So, it was a proposal that was attempting to move us forward. It was not acceptable to our elected leaders. It was not acceptable to our communities that we serve. And ultimately, the Board of Trustees felt that it was too many unanswered questions, and we need to work constructively with other parties. And we are committed to working with the legislative and executive branches and others to sustain the Vermont State Colleges system and allow for a process that moves us to a workable alternative solution over the course of the coming months.
And just finally, Chancellor Spaulding, this plan had also called for cutting jobs for about 500 employees. Will those employees still have their jobs in the fall?
Yeah, most of them will. There may be some additional personnel actions that are necessary, but nowhere near on the scale that we're talking about there.
Okay, so but the potential for some layoffs in the coming months.
Absolutely, that's the case. In every industry or sector, and if they're not layoffs, they might be furloughs. Want to try to do it in the least damaging way, but we can't make a commitment that there are no job actions coming.
That's Vermont State College's Chancellor Jeb Spaulding. He is withdrawing a plan that would have closed three campuses before the fall semester. Those campuses will remain open. Chancellor Spaulding, thanks for the time.
I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
And now we have a story from VPR's Erica Heilman. She was driving from Derby over to Troy, and she stopped at a store on Route 101 to find out how things were going during the pandemic.
And again, if he wants to stay.
Love you, Erica.
The village of North Troy is 1.3 miles from the Canadian border. It's a place with a school and a Dollar General, and the Missisquoi River runs through it. About 2 miles out of town on Route 101, there's Booten's Mini Market, where you can get gas and coffee and milk and frozen pizza and really good sandwiches. It's the local. And like everywhere else, it's trying to figure out how to survive a pandemic. I stopped in and talked with the owner, Jason Booten.
What is tough right now is trying to convince an entire community to take the same level of severity, you know, the same seriousness in the matter. That's been our hardest play.
How does that look? How does that...
Well, closing the door to foot traffic was very difficult because a lot of our customer base are locals. They go out into the woods, they're sugaring, they're doing, you know, logging, they're socially distancing innately. So they have a hard time with the fact that they can't come in, have a breakfast sandwich, hang out, do their, you know, general shopping. This is kind of a hangout. There's not a lot in North Troy. There's not a lot in the kingdom. So when you create a daily routine in people's lives that they come every morning for a cup of coffee and a conversation, and you remove that, it's really hard to convince people that this is the right course of action. But really, it feels like the only one right now. We have 15 employees here. We're trying to make sure that they're all safe while the rest of the world is shutting down and told that it's not safe to go out. You know, one of the lowest paid sectors in private commerce is asked to continue to soldier on.
There have to be so many people who don't know how they're going to pay their bills next month or tomorrow. What's the presence of that you're seeing right now?
I would say a lot of our customer base were J-Peak employees. We've always kind of marketed ourselves as the local option, as less the tourists. So we haven't felt the tourists dissipate as much because we don't really rely on them. But what we have seen with a lot of our J-Peak employees and, you know, people who did get laid off in that initial round is they're still waiting on their unemployment. And cash reserves have pretty much dissipated. And I can say even in my businesses, I can say the same. You know, we're drawing deficits every week, trying to keep people employed, trying to keep full paychecks in people's pockets. But the traffic isn't here. You know, people aren't buying gas because they don't have to go to work. People are less apt to order takeout because they haven't seen a paycheck in a month and they need to save those funds so that, you know, the internet and the electricity stay on.
You don't recognize how, I mean, we all recognize that a local store is where people can find each other. But I mean, how has this thing impacted your relationship to this place? Like, and what you feel your job is or what your role in this town is?
You know, being somebody with some resources to share, I would say that there's, you know, I've got a heightened sense of obligation to the community to try and be here. It would have been a lot easier just to furlough the entire staff, and I could have collected unemployment myself. It just didn't feel like the right thing to do, because if we all do that, then literally the last front line of, we'll say, tax base for the state and employment for the state, and also, you know, community for my friends and family and, you know, around here, that would have all gone away. Our customer base is very loyal, and we're trying to just pay that back right now.
Yeah. Can I order a frozen pizza?
Yeah, so frozen pizza, yeah.
Yeah.
What would you like?
Jason got busy, and I stepped outside to the store porch where there was a takeout window, and I ordered a frozen pizza, and I was pretty excited about it. Buying things at stores now is kind of like a sport. Garrett Draper took my order, and we talked for a minute.
What are you worried about?
Well, I was worried about unemployment. You know, I was having a lot of difficulty with that. I was working at J Peak Ski Resort, and when they got laid down, and luckily, you know, Jason, to my fiance, you know, knows me, and pretty much, you know, said I need help in the store, stuff like that. So instead of saying on unemployment or trying to go through that line, I just stopped and, you know, I started working again. You know, it's kind of a little more, you know. Jason does a good job keeping us safe and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a 1-year-old and, you know, so doing what I can do for my family.
Yeah. I know, and it's a very personal question, but, I mean, how... bare bones is it right now?
It's a little bit bare bones. Luckily, you know, I actually called, I have a somewhat newer car, and I called Kia Financing yesterday, because it's a Kia, and they actually pushed my payment back a month, you know, so they're helping out a lot, and that was just good. You know, I'm keeping contact with people. I know what's going on, like my landlord, and I've let them know what's happening, and they, you know, so everyone seems to be understanding what's going on for my case anyway. So just letting a lot of people know, and this is what my struggles are, and people are working with people, I think, you know, helping out. So that's what I'm, you know, just trying to survive.
This is Erica Heilman with VPR.
By the way, Henry, we got a press release yesterday from the Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department. It seems like there's a bear in Bellows Falls who is not following Governor Scott's stay home, stay safe order. There have been a bunch of sightings of the bear in town recently because there are less people out and about and bears are finding towns and villages more welcoming. And the Fish and Wildlife Department is concerned they could get a bit too comfortable in those populated spaces. The local game warden is asking residents to take down bird feeders and secure their trash. He also suggests trying to scare off backyard bears, if it can be done safely.
Well, if you're out in your backyard scaring off bears today, here's the Eye on the Sky forecast. Mostly to partly sunny, highs in the 40s to low 50s.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. This episode featured reporting from Erica Heilman, Liam Elder Connors, and Peter Hirschfeld.
Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis.
If you're not already subscribed to The Frequency, you can do that wherever you listen to podcasts. A new episode will be in your feed every weekday morning.
I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.
I feel like there's like podcast rules, you know what I mean?
Aren't there? I don't know about podcast rules. What are you
But there's also
about?
No rules. Yeah, but no, there's like podcast like best practices, but like I don't know what those are.
Me neither.
You know?